Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, FJ at offbeatoregon.com, and this is the thrice weekly Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. It's Friday, so the show you're about to hear is a brand new episode, not a rerun. Thanks again for queuing it up, and I hope you enjoy the show today. This story was first published on April 26th of 2015 under the headline, "The Oregonians Who Flew with the Doolittle Raid on Tokyo." Here we go. Of the 80 American Army aviators who flew the Doolittle Raid in April of 1942, at least seven were former Oregonians. Actually, with only one or two exceptions, all of them were former Oregonians, having been stationed at the Pendleton Air Base before operations for the raid commenced. But for seven of them, the relationship with the Beaver State ran deeper than that. This week we'll talk about four of them, and next week we'll wrap up this topic with the other three, along with some finishing thoughts about this historic raid. Colonel Henry A. Potter. Colonel Hank Potter was originally from South Dakota, but attended the University of Oregon before entering the Army Air Corps in 1940. On the mission to bomb Japan, Potter was assigned to the lead plane. He was the navigator on the crew of Jimmy Doolittle himself. Potter survived the raid. With his air crew, he bailed out over China and encountered a group of Chinese nationalist guerrillas who took them into custody at gunpoint and were marching them toward their camp when they encountered a schoolmaster who could speak English. "We were able to explain to him who we were," Potter told the Minneapolis Star Tribune in 1992. "He convinced his countrymen we were allies and took us home and gave us breakfast." Potter went on to service in North Africa, and then was brought back to the U.S. to train pilots in heavy bombers. He retired at the rank of full colonel in March 1970. His awards and commendations include the Distinguished Flying Cross, Air Medal with three oak leaf clusters, Army Commendation Medal, and the Chinese Army Navy and Air Corps Medal. Lieutenant Robert Stevenson Cleaver. Cleaver was an Oregon native, born in Portland in 1914 and a graduate of Cleveland High School. He attended the University of Oregon for 2 years before leaving to go to aviation school just before Pearl Harbor. Cleaver was by all accounts a cut-up, witty and fun to talk to. In the Tokyo raid, he served as bombardier on Crew 7. In an interview for his hometown Portland Morning Oregonian later on in August 1942, he told of watching as fishermen on the coast of Japan waved cheerfully at him as the planes roared overhead. Quote, "I looked at this guy and I said to myself, why the darned old fool, he's waving at us. It was our welcome to Japan and we didn't expect it. No, sir. I didn't wave back, though." But roughly a month later, Cleaver was killed in an airplane crash in Ohio. His flying career had lasted less than 2 years. In that short time, though, he had earned the Distinguished Flying Cross and the Chinese Army Navy Air Corps Medal. Colonel Robert G. Emmons. Robert Emmons was born in Medford, graduated from Medford High, and went on to the University of Oregon. Emmons was the co-pilot on Plane 8, which was the plane that made an emergency landing in Russia. The Russians were not at war with Japan at the time, and although they probably would have liked to return the Americans to the U.S., they couldn't do that without provoking war with Japan, something they could ill afford while fighting off the Germans in the West. So, ignoring the Japanese government's strident demands that Emmons and his colleagues be turned over for trial, they kept them in internment camps for a year, after which time the Americans escaped with the help of an Afghan smuggler and presented themselves at the British Embassy in Iran. There are rumors that this escape was masterminded by the Russian secret police, the NKVD, predecessors to the KGB. Those rumors are, in my opinion, most likely true. Colonel Emmons went on to serve in Europe and Japan during and after the war. His military awards include the Distinguished Service Cross, the Air Corps Medal, Class A, the Chinese Army Navy Air Corps Medal, and even the Japanese Order of the Sacred Treasure. He retired in 1965 and returned home to Medford, where he worked as a stockbroker and died in 92. He's buried in the local Oddfellows Cemetery, and you can visit his grave there. Brigadier General Everett W. Brick Holstrom. Brick Holstrom was the pilot of Plane 4. He was born in Cottage Grove, graduated from Pleasant Hill High School, and attended Oregon State College, now OSU, majoring in forestry before entering military service. He was commissioned a second lieutenant a year later in 1940. After the raid, Holstrom stayed in the China Theater, commanding the 11th Bomb Squadron. After the war, he was assigned to Strategic Air Command, where he flew every multi-engine jet bomber the SAC employed. B-45s, B-47s, B-52s, and B-58s. He also commanded the 43rd Bomb Wing, the first supersonic bombardment group, before his retirement in 69. Holstrom died in 2000, one of the most decorated alumni in Oregon State University history. His awards include the Silver Star, Legion of Merit, 2 Distinguished Flying Crosses, 5 Air Medals, and 2 Commendation Medals. And on one of those Air Medals hangs an interesting tale. Holstrom is the pilot who, while stationed in Pendleton, bombed a target that may have been a Japanese submarine off the mouth of the Columbia River on Christmas Eve 1941. According to the recommendation for the Air Medal, Holstrom came unexpectedly across a surfaced submarine while flying low over the water. Ordering his bombardier to get ready, he flew a low-level run over the sub, and the bombardier dropped 3 bombs on it. The resulting explosion obliterated the submarine and nearly knocked Holstrom's B-25 out of the sky. However, according to historian Bert Weber, Imperial Japanese Navy records after the war say nothing of this submarine. Its identity, or even its existence, remains a mystery to this day. We'll talk about the other 3 Oregonians involved in the Doolittle Raid in next week's column. Key sources in this week's column include works by Alan Kane, the Portland Morning Oregonian Archives, DoolittleRaider.com, and the National Museum of the Air Force. Well, that's our show for today. Thanks again for listening, and I hope you enjoyed it. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. For more Offbeat Oregon goodies, social media links, stuff like that, check out our hub page at OffbeatOregon.com. There you'll also find photos, art, and other resources that go with today's show, as well as full citations to the sources for this story. This podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For full details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. Listen and download more at atlasstringband.com. Questions, comments, corrections, just want to say hi? Email me at fj@offbeatoregon.com. Or ping me on Twitter @OffbeatOregon. Also, if you're going to be in town near Oregon State University with time to talk about Oregon history over a cup or a flagon, let me know. Offbeat Oregon History episodes are uploaded every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning around 6 a.m. So the next one will be ready for you before you know it. And until then, go fill up the rest of today and the weekend with good stuff. Bye now.